Hannah Staver, and this is Ohio Politics Explained, a podcast where you give us 15 minutes and we give you all the news you need to sound smart and impress your friends when you go out this weekend. Welcome back to another episode of Ohio Politics Explained, the Four Bridges and a Rural Highway edition. This week, we're explaining why Republicans in the Ohio Senate and House think we should lower the age to be a police officer, whether there'll be a special election in August, what is and is not in the massive transportation budget bill, and what voter registration has to do with a program named ERIC. This week, I'm joined by a special guest here in studio, Ohio Republican Party Chair Alex Triantafilou. If you remember, we had the Democratic Party Chair on the podcast a few weeks ago, and now we have her counterpart. So thank you so much for taking time.
I'm pleased to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so our first topic is law enforcement, specifically the age at which you can take the oath of office. So for most police forces in the state, that's 21, but Republicans in both the House and Senate want to drop that down to 18. They say it'll be one more recruitment tool for local departments that might be struggling to fill open positions. And it would make Ohio's rules more uniform because sheriff departments and townships can actually hire officers younger, and some of them do. But there are concerns about whether 18-year-olds are mature enough to handle this kind of responsibility. So, you know, it's a really difficult question, I think, for myself, right? Like, I think back to when I was 18. I don't know that I would have been mature enough, but is that to say that all 18-year-olds aren't mature enough?
Well, you know, I think it begins with a conversation about the crisis that law enforcement agencies are having across the country to recruit new police officers. You know, I spend most of my time in the city of Cincinnati today, leading the news in Cincinnati was a story about this recruitment effort, and the projections long term are that Cincinnati, for instance, here in Ohio, will be in a crisis as a result of the lack of the ability to recruit police officers. Look, I'm a Republican, and I think the Democrats have caused this problem. I think they've done so by having this defund the police attitude, and certainly, an overreaction to some situations that clearly were negative, where police officers were at wrong. But generally speaking, Republicans support the police, as do I. But I will say this on the question of that bill. You know, I think it should be up to our legislature. I think generally, if Republicans support it, I could support it. We allow young men and women to go to war at age 18, in that very sense. I think it would make some sense to allow the recruitment of younger folks. Again, a crisis created, though, by this anti-police atmosphere. So I would like to use this moment about this debate just to remind people about the importance of law enforcement and the role that they play to protect our citizenry. So, the Republican Party has largely stood with police officers. And on this one, again, our legislature decides to do it, I think Republicans largely will support it.
And one more thing I want to point out about this bill is that it's permissive, which essentially means that like Akron or Cincinnati or Columbus wouldn't have to. If they wanted to keep it at 21, they could keep it at 21. This isn't a mandate to hire 18-year-olds. So I just want to be clear for anyone listening, like it would be case by case, I guess, and department by department.
And I think, again, that fits with the model of generally how I think Republicans want to govern, and that is to provide for local control on these kind of important questions. And if your community is one that is struggling, or if you decide, individually in your municipality to allow such a thing, then your local government can make that decision. And if the folks who are voting for your local elected official don't like it, they can speak through the ballot box to their elected officials.
So our second topic is Ohio's Constitution. For over 100 years, voters have been able to amend our founding document with a simple majority. So that's 50% plus one vote. But a group of Republicans, including Secretary of State Frank LaRose, think that's a little too easy and opens the door to things like putting the specific addresses of casinos into the state constitution. So they want to make the process harder, both during the signature collecting phase, so to get on the ballot, and when voters go to the polls. The measure would require amendments to the constitution to get 60% of the vote instead of 50. And the big news this week is that we might hold a special election in August to vote on this. And Democrats say this is an effort to block an abortion amendment that's likely going to be on the ballot in November. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I come at this as a person who's practiced law for almost 25 years and, been a judge in my career, studied the Constitution carefully, especially the United States Constitution. We've made it hard to amend the United States, our federal Constitution, for a reason. The Constitution is not a document that should be littered with every idea Republican or Democrat that comes down the pike that's hot at that very moment in history. The Constitution should stand as a foundation for what government is built upon. And too often, it seems to me, groups really of every political stripe have run to the state constitution to implement things they cannot or would not be able to implement legislatively. So it's an opportunity for us, to educate Ohioans even more than they already are about the importance of a constitution as a foundational document and how we govern ourselves, and not to have it so easy just to automatically amend this important document that we have in Ohio, you know, on the whims of the voters, regardless of the issue. And again, obviously the life issue is a very important and hot one right now in Ohio. But I support it. I stand with Secretary LaRose. I think most Republicans do. We can support it for several reasons. But I think the fundamental reason is amending the Constitution, again, should be something where the threshold is higher. It's obviously very difficult to amend our federal constitution. We haven't done that in decades in this country. Again, we've only amended it, a handful of times. Obviously, the Bill of Rights has stood the test of time. Again, these important foundational concepts of government shouldn't be undermined by the whims of the political moment. So, I think raising this threshold to 60% is good policy. It's good policy long term for the health of our governance here in Ohio. And again, for people who are just listening and think, well, gosh, of course, the Republican is going to be in that place because of this abortion question. What I would say to them is this is a question of democracy. It's a question of whether or not you can elect the people or unelect that is defeated at the ballot box, people who make policy you do not agree with. And you take that away from the citizenry when you put things into our Constitution as easily as we've done time and again. So if you don't like the way that legislation is being handled at the State House, you can go to the ballot box and have your voice heard. So it comes down to a question of democracy and the way we operate this great state. So, you know, again, I've belabored it some, Anna, but I will say that obviously you can see I'm passionate about this, and amending our Constitution is not good policy.
So you think we should call a special election in August? Because we just got rid of August elections in the last General Assembly. So should it go in August? Should it go in November? Like, what's the right time to ask voters this question?
You know, it seems to me Republicans may be a little divided on this question in the House and the Senate. You know, I ultimately will look to our leadership in the legislative branches on this topic. I've been clear, as I think most Republicans have, that we believe this is good policy. When and how this is presented to the voters is ultimately, I think, up to our legislature. And I'm not prepared today to tell you that I've taken a position one way or the other.
Our third topic is transportation. So every 2 years, Ohio writes a massive budget bill just for construction projects. Think roads, bridges, trains, even some like bike paths and multimodal. And this week, the Senate showed its cards. So the way it works is the House passes a version with all the projects they want. Then the Senate makes a bunch of changes with all the projects they want. And then it'll likely go to conference committee where the two chambers will work out their differences. So some of those differences are a question of enhanced driver's licenses. So this is like that real ID that people have heard about. The House wanted to enter into a program where you could use your driver's license to cross into Canada and Mexico. The Senate took that out. The Senate considered raising speed limits and then very quickly took that back out after the governor said he'd veto it. There are railway safety in the wake of the East Palestine agreements. There is a debate over $1 billion for rural highways. There's a lot in this budget, which makes sense because it's like $11 billion.
Well, there certainly is. And I know this question of changing the speed limit, I think even in the last 24 hours, has been tabled largely by the Senate, as I understand it. I think, again, the fundamental role of government, in my view, is protecting its citizenry and then building out an infrastructure, you know, that allows businesses to flourish, families to travel, and for us to, you know, engage in this lifestyle that we all love living in Ohio. So, I'm watching this transportation budget not as carefully as I would be if I were in the legislature. But, I think much of what we're going to see is going to be positive. And I feel very confident that President Huffman and Speaker Stevens and the governor will get us to the right answer on this transportation budget. And, I think that's what I can say about the transportation budget. Yeah.
I won't ask you to get into the arguments over force account limits. But
appreciate that.
No, they're really interesting. I won't bore our readers or listeners with it yet, but I am working on a story about them because they are super interesting and I can't resist a wonky topic. But our fourth and final topic is Eric. And no, it's not a person. ERIC is a partnership between a bunch of states to share data from their election offices, their departments of motor vehicles, their social security administrations, in order to figure out like when people move from state to state, and sometimes even if they actually have voted in two different states. And so this has been largely something that's been operating in obscurity kind of for like the last decade or so. But recently we've seen Alabama, Florida, West Virginia, Missouri pull out of the program, and Ohio looks like it's pulling out too. So Secretary of State Frank LaRose said that he can't justify the use of, quote, Ohio's tax dollars for an organization that seems intent on rejecting meaningful accountability. So what's up with ERIC, and why is it suddenly such a controversial thing in conservative circles?
Well, you know, I've been on the Board of Elections for now over 15 years in Hamilton County and continue to serve in that capacity. I support Secretary of State LaRose on this. That probably won't come as any surprise to you. First of all, Ohio is a model state on how to run an election. I think Secretary LaRose and Secretary Husted before him has built out a system here, of voting, that is the envy of many people in the country. We do it right. I think we make it, again, to quote former Secretary Husted, easy to vote, hard to cheat. You have a month to vote in Ohio. We don't have election day. We have election month. You know, people in the other party and my friends on the other side of the aisle like to talk about suppression. That's not what we do in Ohio. We make it super easy to vote, over 250 hours of early voting opportunity. So we do it right here in Ohio. As it relates to ERIC and some of these national organizations, you know, I understand some of the backlash that's out there because our former president has spoken about voter fraud and to some people, especially on the left. Of course, when their side talks about voter fraud, whether it's Stacey Abrams in Georgia, they don't get as ginned up about it. But our former president talked about it. So people are quite upset. I think some of these voter rights groups have tended to side a little bit too far to the left. And I think they would be better off staying in their lane, in their center lane, and allowing the politicians and the elected officials to have their debates on voting rights. But again, I think pulling out of ERIC is consistent with the kind of policies that Frank LaRose has had in this state. And that is to make it very easy for everyone to cast a ballot, regardless of their political persuasion.
And now, normally I give you one more thing before we go, but this week I'm turning that duty over to Alex. So what is the one more thing that we all need to know?
Well, I think what voters should know is that the Republican Party is going to make a major effort here to take back the Senate seat held by Senator Sherrod Brown. And that is one of the main reasons I ran for this job. One of my main focuses here is state chairman. We think this state has become decidedly more Republican. And we think that a person who votes 98.5% of the time with President Biden and someone whose voting record looks more like Senator Kamala Harris when she was in the Senate than Joe Manchin, we think is not right for Ohio. So my one more thing is to just tell listeners that this is a main motivation of ours. And we think it's going to be it's time to end the 47-year political career of Senator Sherrod Brown. And I intend to be a major part of it. So I appreciate the chance to make that pitch to anyone who's listening who may be inclined to support us.
Well, thank you so much. Ohio Politics Explained is brought to you by the USA Today Network Ohio Bureau. You can find us on Twitter at Ohio Explained. And if you want to learn more about any of the topics we covered, check us out online at any of the newspapers in our network, like newarkadvocate.com.